You are very welcome to Cawley's Call with me, Alan Cawley, powered by Benetti Menswear, a topical debate show covering all things Irish football, along with 1v1 interviews with top-class sports stars from a wide range of different sports.
It's me that's putting on the green jersey. Me that's going to take flack from people to say, you're not even Irish. I was big enough to say, I'm going to take it.
There's many people I've spoke to, they always say, I used to put money on you scoring the first goal, but I've never seen any of that money, though.
And Andy, he says, I want the performances that I got from you in Scotland with the under-16s, not that rubbish that you gave me over in Iceland. Yeah.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on episode 6, as you've just heard, of series 3. Delighted to have you all with us again. Shorter show this week because there's no games Friday night. We will touch on the Ireland squad because obviously there's two international games. And this is the first time that we've tried out this year where if there's an international game, there's no Premier Division games or around that weekend with lads away with the 21s maybe or whoever. So we will touch on that later on. We were also due to have a guest in studio with us, a manager. I won't name his name because in case, and it's not that we're trying to hide anything, but he's been struck down, a couple of his family members struck down with COVID. So he's just lying low, which is understandable. So he's not joining us. But we will get him in again.
I heard he was licking lampposts.
Premier Division manager. You know,
he was licking the lamppost, so he's got COVID.
Well, now that we're talking about that, Stu, I hope it's not a sign of things to come because it's fairly rampant again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it is. It is. No, I don't think so. Hopefully not. I think it's probably as a result of a little bit of... I don't think anyone's really gone haywire, but it may be the... You know, I think we've learned to kind of, if we need to kind of adjust, we can adjust.
Hopefully, because we don't want to go back to the days.
But you know, the fact that the vaccinations are so high, you can only react to what this particular strain is. It seems to be nothing more than either a bad cold or a flu, or whatever the case may be.
But I think because of the
case, I'm not undermining it now.
No, I was listening to Luke O'Neill, and I think according to him,
who?
Professor Luke O'Neill.
Luke, he works in my building.
Seems like a lovely man.
He does, yeah.
I heard him last night for the first time in weeks.
He's great. I think he's the voice of reason, to be fair.
Well, he said it's more, I think 30% more infectious, hence the amount of cases. But anyway, look, we're not going down that road. But we do have to start on a negative, Stu. And it's something that we've discussed week after week on this show. Okay? It reared its ugly head again on Friday night. Something that we don't want to see. Clubs are burying their head in the sand with this, and the FEI if they think there's not an issue, because we can go back through at least 5 or 6 different incidents. And the game that was live on the telly was Drogheda against Dundalk. Brilliant result for Drogheda, great crowd, but unfortunately it was marred by idiots jumping on the pitch after the match.
I actually missed this.
So the Drogheda fans run on, goading the Dundalk fans. Only takes one or two of those idiots to jump over the fence, and before you know it, there's fellas fighting on the pitch again. Like the scenes.
Was it on camera?
Well, I saw video footage of it, which everyone probably saw over the weekend.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Actually, I do know what's going on. It's obviously, what's happened is, because video footage is so readily available of other situations happening at grounds, these gobshites, young fellas, feel enabled now, empowered to go and do this. I can do this now. Because obviously nothing's going to happen. I can run on the pitch, I can act the gobshite. I don't know whether it's some sort of a dare thing or whatever, but look, they're looking for content within the groups that they hang around with. It's childish, it's immature, it's dangerous.
This is the point. We've raised this now every week. I don't want to be starting the show again with this stuff, but it's important. It's really important because someone is going to get hurt, and we've seen that already.
It's trying to cut across you. I don't know whether these kids don't realise this whole one. You can die from a dig in the head. We've seen this one punch thing where fellas just hit the deck with a single dig. I don't understand that.
It's not always young fellas either. We've seen grown men being involved in this kind of nonsense as well. But the thing about it, Stu, is here's something in terms of maybe the solutions. Derry City came out with a really strongly worded statement yesterday because they've been fined over the trouble with Shamrock Rovers night and fines with flares. So they come out with a really strongly worded statement basically saying lifetime bans. No ifs, buts, or maybes. Yeah. Yeah. Lifetime bans. And it was really strong. And I tweeted about it saying that's basically what we want to see all the clubs do. Is it a thing as well, right? And here's something I wanted to throw at you because I went to a match 3 weeks ago, was it? Pats and Rovers. So there was 5,000 in Chicor, which is a small enough ground, but there was a great crowd, great atmosphere, no trouble, which was great to see. But I was with a lad who used to play in the league, Brian Cash, who came with me. And we were just having a chat about the amount of people in the crowd, because it was poorly regulated in terms of over in the corner where St. Pat's normally sing and the music section, or we were close to that. But there was literally where you walk down the steps of the aisle as such going to your seats. There was that many people in the stand that everyone was just standing in the aisle. And we were kind of saying, look, you don't want to be snowflakey about it, which we don't. Mm. But that's a health and safety thing. And the point we're getting to is, what this is the question that I want to ask you. Whilst the attendances are great, and we see them across the board, okay, hear me out. While the attendances are great and we see them across the board, and we've mentioned this two or three times in terms of the focus on the league now and a bit more positivity and hype. But are the clubs able to cater for these bigger attendances with security? Because it doesn't seem to be the case at all.
Yeah, no, that certainly seems to be a big issue. It was definitely the issue at Derry. Now, I know Derry, for some reason, the police don't police the ground. They have their own internal security system, but they weren't ready for the Rovers situation. And from what we've seen, not just a Derry thing, from what we've seen, it's
well, the footage I saw the other night of Drogheda, they certainly weren't ready.
They're not ready for that. There's a kind of a few things happening here. The stewards aren't probably used to it, okay, but it's suddenly happening now. So I think there definitely needs to be a briefing now, all the stewards around all the grounds, that as soon as somebody even gets their foot on the wall, nail them, you know. And it's not a hard thing to do. You know, there's only certain areas where they're going to come on the pitch, like. So that, I think maybe the clubs need to probably brief their stewards a little bit better.
Because if we're talking about
I wouldn't want to be a steward, Al, to be honest with you. And you think about it, I see a lot of them, and it's a volunteer thing, and it's a difficult job for them to do.
They could be
putting themselves in serious risk here now, especially when you look at some of the things we've seen. Like, you know, these guys could seriously hurt you, if not do a lot worse.
And that brings me back to the question, Stu. Are we at a point, again, it comes back to finances, but are we at a point where if we're talking about and shouting about raising the standards on the pitch in terms of the players and the way to play and the professionalism and all this kind of stuff that goes with it, they need professional security at the matches by the looks of things to me, the way it's going at the moment.
Well, it's looking that way, yeah. Certainly if this continues, like, you know, because It doesn't take long for this stuff to get around. And, you know, if you're trying to encourage more families, more children, more women to come to games,
it's a major turn.
Absolutely not. I wouldn't bring my girls to a
sad
certain
thing
games
to say,
now.
Isn't it?
It is a sad thing. Absolutely, yeah. I'm trying to really figure out. I don't know what's happened. I know we've touched on this in the last couple of weeks. I don't know what's happened in the last, well, the obvious thing is that there's been COVID and there's been a lack of exposure to live events, and this is a sort of a crescendo of built up energy where young lads are getting out and they're carrying on like they've seen something in a movie, like, you know. But it seems to me like I wonder, has the additional crowd, you know, are we seeing newer people coming to games now? That, and that's what's explained the higher
just looking for trouble,
but they don't know how to behave themselves in a football match. You know, it's like they're not used to being at live games, and the only thing they think they know about how you're supposed to behave at a football match is to go and cause trouble. So I can't understand why this is suddenly rearing its head.
Well, it is
now. And
it's
everywhere. It's all the
every
clubs.
Week. It's like, and it's not one club. It's like there we had Drogheda, Dundalk last week.
It's a big problem. Yeah, it's
everyone. Issue outside Sligo Rovers, the Shogun's, which I've never seen a couple of weeks back. Obviously the Derry, the Shamrock Rovers one. Bo's throwing bottles that are a bottle down at Anto Breslin. So there was another lad got in touch with me saying Shelburne lads throwing flares at Talbot and stuff in the goals, and all this nonsense that's breaking out. And as I say, we don't want to be kind of snowflakey about it, but in terms of the clubs themselves, now we spoke to Shamrock Rovers representative after the stuff in Derry, and he was explaining to me, now we're hoping to get maybe two or three members from the clubs to explain this, and because it's coming at a big cost. He was explaining to me about the amount of cost and security they've put into Tala to try and stop this carry on as well, which is brilliant. Fair play, I says. That's, and I says, they're the messages you need to be getting out, because fans need to realise that money could be spent elsewhere on, player, on the team, yeah, or the squad, yeah, or whatever the case may be. Yeah, you're having to put it into security for these idiots that are ruining it for everyone. But again, as I said, Dundalk, Martin Connolly came out with a strong statement as well afterwards. I didn't see anything from Drogheda, but I definitely think because of the stronger attendances or the bigger attendances, I don't think the clubs can cater for it at the moment. This is a new thing in terms of the bigger attendances, and they need to get their house in order as well in terms of if there's going to be more people coming through the gates, through the turnstiles, there needs to be a bigger presence of security if this nonsense is going to carry on.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a case that the clubs have been caught a little bit off by the level of attendances. And it's not just catering for the security end of things. A perfect example, I was in Talca Park for the opening game of the season. Huge crowd, 4,200 people. Great events. No trouble, to be fair, of what I've seen. But I noticed a couple of things, like these might seem like simple things, but like the shop,
yeah,
right? The queue for the shop, it was going around the ground.
And again, as you say, if
you're kind of going, just might have two or three shops, like, yeah, you know, if you've got, yeah, people standing.
Plus, if
idle,
you're bringing kids, but a kid would want to, yeah, something from the shop.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. You can, if you've got, you know, if you bring your daughters or your sons or both to a game, you have to stand in the thing for 30 minutes, can't watch it. It all adds to the experience, and it's a negative experience, you know. And then there's that, and there's also security issues with having crowds standing idle in amongst each other. It's freezing cold, people are getting frustrated. It's just, it all adds to each other, you know. So there's just things like that I seem to have caught the clubs out. You'd argue it's a good problem to have because we want crowds. But the infrastructure is not there. I don't know any ground other than Talla, or even I don't even think there's too many shops in Talla. Like, you know,
I was in Talla Friday night show, and I sat over in the Sligo Rovers end, and obviously it's really well run in terms of the structure for the away fans there. Segregate it whatever you want, but a good area for them. Went down at half time, tea, coffee. Right. Curry chips, whatever you want. Like, there's there's a shop in the corner for the Shamrock Rovers fans. So there's one over in the. That's the ground that we all want.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Talla, obviously. I think who will give credit? I think Talla seems to be okay for obvious reasons. It's, I mean, they've been
the showgrounds very
show
good.
Showgrounds is decent. Well, is it? Brandywell, I think, is okay. I didn't see any huge crowds queuing there. Like, you know, and it seems to be spaced.
But these are things like getting away from, I suppose, the trouble and the security. I agree with you with the amount of fans now. These are things that the clubs will need to start looking across the board at, across the ground.
So I actually wrote an article on this last week, and I kind of touched on this a little bit because I do feel that I had a very good conversation with a couple of people in the game in at club level. I'm not going to drop names or go into anything, but I have to say I am very impressed at the level of the quality and the level of people that are at running our clubs now. There's some serious people running, you know, at the helm of clubs, whether it be on a business sense, commercial sense, you know, just, you know, very intelligent people, very experienced people. You only have to look at some of the investment that's gone in at multiple clubs now. So there's serious people getting involved. Gone are the days now when at Shelbourne, the likes of Giovanni Di Stefano was trying to get involved in investing in Shelbourne. You're talking about serious people who've made their money. There's a lot of wealth in Ireland and a lot of wealth in the diaspora that not only are in Ireland, they may be working abroad, but just want to give a little bit back to little old Ireland. And they're football lovers, and they just want it. And it's very encouraging. And I think when you talk about maybe moving the game forward, I'd love to see some sort of, how would I explain this? Some sort of, task force is a terrible word, but committee or group of these people coming together. And they don't have to do it in public view and go and start lobbying the government and really get, you know, and these are people who are at a level who can.
So you're
organise meetings with I'm talking with ministers, high-end politicians.
So you're saying basically out of all the clubs,
the FAI ain't going to do it. That's what I'm saying, Alan.
A little representative committee amongst four or five big heavy hitters.
A lobby group. Absolutely, okay. Because you've got, we're talking about people who are at a level where they can get direct access or know how to get direct access to ministers or to basically start knocking on the door. Like the Greyhound industry does, like the horse racing industry does. And
no, it's a good idea. You know, 100% it's a good idea. And the thing about it as well is,
the reason I'm bringing it up, the FBI just ain't going to do it. And I don't know whether, like, Jonathan Hill has a certain job to do. I don't know. I don't think, in my opinion, he has enough contacts or enough experience in Ireland to know how to start doing that. I'm talking about people who have been in this country at a level for like 30, 40 years. You know, they know how the system works and they know how to, they know what door to knock on, when to knock on it, and how to knock on it. And I'd love to see that happen now, because in reality, Alan, we ain't going anywhere until we have state intervention in the infrastructure of grounds.
100%. That's what I'm saying. Well, I was in Tala Friday night. That's the standard. That's what you want.
Yeah, and that's a South Dublin County Council. That's a state run, and that's all fine.
Like, the stadium's fantastic. I sat over the far side in with the Sligo Rovers fans, and even I'd normally sit the side behind the dugouts. Great views, no matter where you are. But I sat over that side the other night. Unbelievable views and comfort, even at the match. You know, if and you're mentioning bringing kids, there was kids there. Like, there is huge comfort, and that's where you need to get to. Yeah. Look, let's get on with the football, Stu. We hope that, as I say, these issues with the crowd and people then suggesting, oh well, we've seen this before in terms of clubs coming out with statements and such, and it's usual, just here's a statement but not an act. And let the clubs just let it play out, people. I know, because a couple of people came back to me into it saying, oh, we've seen this before. Let it play out and let them implement.
I disagree with that, not on this scale, Alan. We've only ever seen it at certain clubs. We're seeing things now at all the clubs.
What I'm saying is, people, when the Derry statement was released and I tweeted saying, that's great, now all the clubs should follow suit, that's what you want from Derry, lifetime bans, this is where we're at, right? And people, oh, we've seen this before, clubs coming out with statements but never do anything. I
believe Derry.
I believe 100%.
The reason being, and going back to what I just said, you've got serious people at clubs now.
I believe 100%.
You've got serious people at clubs now who are looking to not only invest their time and their heart and their money into the future of a football club, and there's no way they're going to jeopardize the future of their football club because of two or three gobshites. Yeah. And again, I well believe Derry will do something about that. Because
100%.
Yeah, they have to stop it at source as well. You can't allow it to become a problem. And I have to say, I know Derry has its history for all sorts of reasons. I've never really seen trouble at Derry. I've never in my whole life, and I've gone up there 25 years.
I think across the board, it's something, that's what surprises me.
Yeah, it's a kind of
it's never been linked to that. Obviously, there's the odd skirmish at a match over the years. There's different things, but it's never been a tag that you could associate with League of Ireland. There's trouble here. I wouldn't go near there. There's trouble. There's always trouble at them matches. That's, as long as I'm going to matches and involved, I've never had a tag like that associated with the league.
It just seems to be a post-COVID thing where people are just all pumped up with energy and they just want to get out there. And you know, whether it just happens that the League of Ireland season is on at the moment. You know,
or is it just that they're idiots?
If it was a summer festival season, I'd say they'd be causing trouble at that. And I'd say they'd be causing trouble at that as well. I just think where the league here is kind of indirect way. We've just come out. I mean, we restrictions were reduced when? Was it 6 weeks ago? I can't just put a date on it. Was it?
I don't know. We
got the full go-ahead about 6 weeks ago. Was it? I don't know.
Anyway, look, we're getting on to the football, okay? I was at two matches last weekend and talking about a place where there'll never be trouble. UCD. There was all Bose fans.
Never say never. UCD.
All Bose fans.
Those students, they can get it.
But they weren't happy, the Bose fans, and rightly so, because Bose got off to a great start, and then, Stu, nothing. The points that we were making last week about, or was it two weeks ago?
Lack of leadership, maybe, is it?
Yeah, massively.
It's not there.
It's just not there. It's not there. It's not amongst the group that they have at the moment. It's a bit rudderless looking at them. And UCD, to be fair, played their part. UCD doing what UCD do, good, technical, young, enthusiastic footballers wanting to maybe prove a point, do their thing. Young manager Andy Myler, everybody writing them off. But they've two outstanding players in Colin Whelan, but particularly Liam Kerrigan is outstanding. Absolutely destroyed Max Murphy. And you look at Bohemians at the moment, Stu, and they were obviously getting a bit of stick as well, and they've got a lot of stick since the match, ending up drawing 1-1, and UCD deserved that draw.
Stick as in what way?
Stick from the fans. Just basically, it's not good enough, because it wasn't. The performance was dreadful.
The team is getting a See, this is a problem with... again, I hate going back to writing about this. I also touched a little bit on this last week as well. And I remember the time... I remember the days in Daly Mount, probably just after I retired, actually, you know, 2011 up until 2014. Jesus, it was an awful place to go and watch a game of football, because there was just an air of negativity around the ground, and it just didn't help anything. And I would just say, don't go back there, guys. Like, you know, I think Bows will be okay this season, right? They might just have an off season, and okay, I think the club may be at a stage now where they may need to start re-looking at their objectives, how they're going about doing things, because their player retention thing is a huge problem. You can't keep going back to the well every year and expect to kind of perform at the level he did last year. Last year was a... I don't know whether the expectation levels were raised because of what happened in Europe and getting to the FAI Cup final, but when they lost, the players they've lost after the year they had last year, something is wrong. They can't keep players for some reason.
No,
whether they're competitive in the wage market, I don't know, but they have to address that.
You were always losing Georgie and you were always losing Ross, right? Tierney, because they were going across the water. I've no problem with that. But it's just so hard to replace that. But then when you go through the others that they've lost.
Yeah.
And Cornwall is much of a muchness for me for what's there now in terms of Horton and Finnerty and Kieran Kelly. Buckley's huge for me because not only on the pitch, it's what he brings off it. And that was a dressing room. You go back to Pender, Shane Supple, Buckley. That's what they were built on under Keith Long over the last 4 or 5 years, that unity and spirit. That just looks like it's gone at the moment. It's gone.
But where was the big movement of players? There was a huge, huge movement of players in the off-season, as much as I've ever remembered. And it was all between Pats, Dundalk,
Derry. Oh yeah, a lot of players moved, yeah.
None of them going to... Very little going to Bows. Why? They can't seem... Like, after a club that did so well in Europe last year, reached the FAI Cup final, like, okay... Was the fact that they weren't in Europe again this year, is that's a negative? It may well be, but there's definitely an issue there over Bo's being able to kind of maybe recruit a higher quality player. And I'm not for a minute suggesting they don't have quality players. What they've achieved in the last 7 years under Keith Long, year on year, has been nothing short of incredible,
unbelievable.
But you're not going to get away with it forever. And this could be the year where they may have hit a wall.
I'll tell you what the argument was from what I've seen with the fans and stuff. And we've praised Keith Long, and rightly so, because as you said there, he's done a great job over the last 4 or 5 years in doing what he's been doing in terms of losing the players and then having to try and replace them and keep them competitive and up the top or whatever, near the top. Now the fans are saying, look, we're great in the community. We're great at all this. We get the plaudits. Yeah, there was a BBC feature on Football Focus last week. They're brilliant at all that stuff. But now they're saying, we're a football club. We want to win it.
We want to compete. So therefore, the manager needs a bigger budget. He needs to. That's the reality of it.
But this is where we at Daniel.
This is the question Bows have to start asking themselves now. Are we prepared to increase our budget to bring in a higher quality player? I don't know whether they will do that until such time as Daly Mount is done. Because obviously when Daly Mount is done, they have the ability to generate more revenue, and they're not going, in their minds,
they're not going back to the thing.
But it's a dilemma, isn't it? It is a huge conundrum for them.
And I'd say, like, if you were to put yourself in Keith Long's shoes, now whether he'll come out and say it publicly, it must be so hard for him too, because he's probably thinking, I want to sign the best players in the league rather than me losing me best players. But as you say, are Bows in the market for those players?
I don't think so. The evidence would suggest no. The evidence would suggest players are going to...
Like Lions leaves to go to Shamrock Rovers. Manager did last year, you know.
Rovers, like, but basically the top four teams. Just look at the league tables. The top four teams, they're paying better salaries. And these are fellas that are...
Full-time footballers.
You know, this is the world. And look at the... I mean, we're all going through it now at the moment with the inflation thing is a huge problem. You have to live your life. You have to get paid. And that's the problem that they have. Yeah. And it's
not going away.
Not going away. No.
No, it's not going away. Okay, so it was a disappointing night for Bose. We'll watch that space. I went to Tala then. Brilliant game, Shoe. Absolutely brilliant. It was the first time to see Sligo Rovers. I had mentioned on the podcast that wasn't sure about in terms of the recruitment and they were leaving it late in the day, bringing players in. First time to get a good look at them. They played great.
Yeah.
Played great, Shoe. They really did. I ran out a bit of steam in the end, and it was a tough night in terms of. It was actually a funny game because.
Well, they really should. I mean, I know Rovers probably. I'm sure they turned the screw a little bit, but they chucked it away. Sligo. They look at the penalty, Al. Oh, Jesus Christ! Did he tackle?
Yeah.
You can't tackle like that in the penalty area. Yeah.
But to be fair, it was attack after attack. It was an onslaught at that stage because they're chasing the game. They emptied the bench, bringing on all the big boys. Jack Byrne didn't start. Jack came on, he ran the game.
Well,
in the second.
He wasn't well, was he? I believe I've subsequently looked at a report that he wasn't well. He'd been sick.
Ran him up, came on and controlled and created and did all the things Jack does. He was brilliant. But I'll tell you about the game, Shu. Shamrock Rovers could have been 3 up after 15 minutes.
Right.
Now, I mean 3 up, not even 1 up. They had 3 great chances. McGinty pulled off one. There was a bit of a scramble from a corner. Sligo were struggling to set pieces. Then their first attack, they scored Sligo Rovers. Brilliant goal, ball into the box, kind of a glancing header.
I saw the header, yeah.
Great header,
header, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant header. And even, to be fair, I was in amongst the Sligo Rovers fans that were kind of saying, look, we'll take it. We're 1-0 up in Tala, like, against the run of play. Then Barry Cotter makes a mistake. Bad mistake, plays a square ball. Keane, to be fair, goes in, buries a 2-0 up. They're in dreamland. And they kind of held out till half-time comfortably enough. Rovers had a couple of shots. McGinty pulled off 1 or 2 saves. There was one from Dylan Watts on the edge of the box. Second half, they made the changes. Jack comes on. To be fair to Shamrock Rovers, the least they deserved was at least a point. They were second half to dominate the whole game.
Yeah.
Couple of breakaways from Sligo Rovers, but... To be fair to Sligo Rovers fans, even they knew coming out of it that look, a draw was probably a fair result, if anything. So McGinty pulled off an unbelievable save as well when it was 2-1. Then they conceded from the resulting corner, which was unfortunate. They held that well. They defended resolutely then for the last 10 minutes because it was attack after attack. It was an onslaught. But it was a brilliant game of football. I was impressed with Sligo Rovers, I have to say. The lad Keane up front did really, really well. McDonald in midfield, no bulger either. The lad that played centre-half, he's gone off on international duty now in New Zealand, Pinnacar, that came in late in the day. Looks fairly steady and solid beside Buckley. And yeah, they played really, really well, Stu.
I'm thinking now of when you look at the top four, obviously Rovers are fourth and they've got Pats, Sligo and Derry all above them now. I'd say... Rovers are probably looking at it now thinking no one's got, you know, none of these three have any fears of coming to play us now. Mm. Like, you know, and I think the penny may have dropped for them a little bit. I think that's a result for Rovers, Shamrock Rovers, that might just give them the kick in the arse they needed because they come from 2-0 down.
Yeah. And they deserved it.
And, you know,
as much as it pains me to say it,
they've done it last year. They deserve it. So, in other words, it tells you that. They didn't panic, you know.
No, they didn't.
They didn't panic. They just kept playing the way they were playing. And I just think that's the kind of result that does two things. Galvanises you, gives you, and then just gives you a little bit of a kick in the arse as well. And I
you know what it also highlighted as well, Shu? And this is, like, we're hoping and praying for a competitive season and 2 or 3 teams.
I think we've got it, Alan. I think we have it now.
Well, it's still, well. But anyway.
We're 7 games in now. I think we've got it.
Okay, and hopefully we have, right? But what it highlighted was, if we are to get that competitive season, and you've outlined the 3 that are above them now at the moment, so Derry beat them, Pats beat them, Sligo Rovers drew with them. But you know what it highlighted, and what's going to come against those 3 the longer it goes on? They empty the bench with quality. You're bringing on, that's the squad to have. You're bringing on top quality chasing the game. Byrne, Towell, Aaron Green, whoever it is that's coming on. Yeah, Mona Finn didn't even play. Gannon didn't play.
But here's the but, right? And if you look at Derry, right? Top of the league now. But you would imagine if they're in and around that top 3 come the summer, which they probably will be.
Reinforced.
Of course they will. They've got the resources to do it.
Which is great.
Have Sligo got the resources to do it? Probably do.
If they were in a position where he had a problem.
Because, obviously, because the finances now with regards European, it's a little carrot.
It's like Rovers in Arena, healthy.
You can go and do it now. The crowds are up as well. So if you're probably looking now at all those three clubs are probably looking at, I'd say, at least 10% increase in home crowds. Mm. At least,
yeah.
And then that galvanizes the coffers. Between now and the summer, you've got 4 or 5 months of increased finances. I know they're probably paying out bigger salaries, but like, I think it all bodes well. I think if
that's a very good point.
If there's nothing wrong with spending money, if you're spending it on strengthening your squad, like that's good. You know, as long as it makes sense, you're not throwing money away on stupid things. It's you're investing in your squad,
because you'd like to think as well at that stage too. You're talking about say the summer, and you have say Sligo top and Derry second and Shamrock Rovers third and Pats, and you're saying they'll reinforce, right? Just for argument's sake, the chances are with those four at that stage, if you were to reinforce and bring in one or two and spend the extra few bob, the chances are you're still going to be in the top four, and you have that European money coming in again next year. So that's a win-win, really.
Yeah, but that's exactly that's the way clubs look at it as well. And I might add as well, those three clubs we're talking about Derry, Sligo and Pats, if they can strengthen, that's three clubs that are in a position to strengthen that you wouldn't normally have. They can take players away from Rovers. They can stop the ability of Rovers to strengthen. So it's because they're more competitive this year. It's not a one-way market for Shamrock Rovers. It's like in years gone past, we probably would have looked at Shamrock Rovers and said, well, look, they can bring in the likes of Richie Towell,
Aaron McInniff, whatever.
Now it's a little bit more, well, Derry is a bit of a prospect. Sligo might be a bit of a prospect. Pats might be a bit of a prospect. So that just levels the playing field when it comes to the transfer market. So I'd say you'll have Sky Sports News outside all the grounds come transfer deadline day.
Tell me this, right? Stephen Bradley, Shamrock Rovers, played 7, 11 points out of 21.
It's the goal conceded is the problem, isn't it?
It's not a great return.
No. It's the goals conceded is the problem. You know, when you think back to Rovers when they won the league 2 years ago, I think it was a record goals.
Watertight.
Seven league goals. I know it was a slightly shortened season, but 7 league goals conceded, which is incredible. Last year wasn't brilliant for them, I have to say, but they're on a slippery slope now where they are conceding goals. And even when I look back to the goals against Sligo the other night, you talked about Cotter, the square ball into Keane, great turn, but when he gets turned, Alan, Lopez has given him 5 yards inside the penalty area, and he's backing off. So there's just that little edge is not there at the moment. I know Lopez has missed a bit of pre-season now because of the African Nations Cup stuff. So they just need to tighten up. And when you think of Keane's header, have a look at it again. Horse 3 yards off him.
Of the first goal.
The first goal.
He's O'Sullivan's.
Who was the header?
O'Sullivan.
O'Sullivan, sorry, apologise. Horse 3 yards off. And he's the only player in the box. So it's just that they're not they need to sort that out, because I don't think they have a problem going forward, to be quite honest. I think the goals will come, the chances will come, but they're conceding goals.
But with the quality they have, and that's the thing, Jack, as I say. And they did deserve the least they deserved was a point. They played really well on the night, Shamrock Rovers. It was a brilliant game. It's the best game I've seen all season. It was a really, really good game of football, which is what you want to see, the two teams playing the right way. And I hope, as I say, it was the first time I've seen Sligo. I hope it's a sign of things to come. They have a game in hand. They'll be delighted with the start, 12 points, and hopefully they can maintain that, because we do want to see the 3 or 4 teams. The other team I want to discuss to you is Shelburne.
Oh, Jesus, don't go there.
3-0 home to Finn Harris.
I think they're in trouble, Al. I have to say.
Trouble? What kind of trouble?
I'd be very worried. I mean, if the dressing room wasn't locked and there wasn't a few words said and a few home truths told after that game, then I'd be very surprised. But the way they're conceding goals is a worry now to me. I think there's two things wrong, and the big thing is something that was very evident in the home game against Pats. First game of the season, they were excellent. Excellent in the game. They did everything right other than
take their chances,
and they were a little bit a little bit light in terms of defending, like really going
naive,
and
maybe
just
a little bit naive,
yeah. But like, you know, you need kind of defenders to really go and sort of make that header or make that tackle and get tight, you know, that kind of way. But what I seen the other night was the same lack of conviction in front of the goal is a problem.
But they've only scored four goals.
Yeah, McInniff had a header which, to be quite honest, he should have buried. Really, like, you know, he just got the timing is all off and it's not right. But the goals they've conceded, Al.
Nine, yeah.
Jeez, that was three the other night.
You're playing against Finn Harps, who hadn't a win all season. Now, you know, it was only five games. They'd only scored two goals and they come up to Talca Park, get their first win and score three.
I'll tell you, in my opinion, what I felt happened the other night, okay? I think Shells have now played, that was their seventh game the other night. And when you, I think there's a psychological thing now coming into the game. Because when you look at the timing of the goal the other night, Finn Harp scored just before half time. Keeper was poor, should have saved it. Simple as that, end of story. And it's a couple of mistakes he's made. Duff's got a problem now. He's got to really look at, does he get Clarkey in for a few games, settle it down, give the keeper a bit of a kick in the arse?
I'm surprised Clarkey start from day one.
Keeper was poor and it's cost him. And I'll tell you why it's cost him, because Shells now, for me, look like a team. When they go 1-0 down, the heads drop. Because the confidence is not there, because they're doubting themselves, saying we're not really scoring. We're you know, and they basically just fell apart then. Because when you, the second goal, it's a straight free kick, 40 yards out. He just lobbed it into the box, and it's going over players' heads.
Yeah, you
can't explain it. You know, in any other game, it's a get yourself set. Go and win the header.
Well, you need a centre half to take an authority.
But not even. It's bizarre. It's like it's all happening in slow motion. And then not only is it a 40, 50, I think it could even be 50 yards out, a straight ball, centre of the pitch, free kick. You've got your defending on the D. You're all lined up. You see the straight ball over. Not only has it gone over the left full's head, who should have gone and headed it away. When the lad's gone in around the back of him, he's squaring it across three or four Finn Harps players who are just free. It's like everyone's just stopped going, go and fucking head the ball. Now, I'm sure Duffer doesn't work on set pieces saying, all right, for set pieces against, we're going to do this. That's just
I had
stuff
breakfast.
You learn when you're 9 or 10.
I had breakfast Friday.
I had breakfast on Friday as well.
Well, we all have breakfast Friday, but with two Shelburne players, okay? And it wasn't on purpose.
Steady, no.
I just bumped into them.
Don't be liable to anybody.
No.
What did they have for breakfast?
Great lads.
Weetabix.
And
they didn't have the Weetabix.
Duff's been great. Joey O'Brien. All the things we'd heard in terms of the coaching and stuff. So they're spending hours on the coaching pitch. As you say, whatever happens then in terms of those instances when you're defending a set piece, you're defending a corner, defending a free kick, whatever it is, it's down to individuals then. Like,
you can't let... I've had sort of experiences with this before when, you know, when you get the level of if you can, sometimes players can take stuff literally as they've been told. Like, you know, you can't,
instead of making decisions just, for themselves.
Like, you know, if there's a tackle to be made, go and make it. If there's a header to be made, go and make it. You know, don't be waiting on somebody. Like, don't be. You know, it's not an excuse. I'm in my position. I was told to be here.
Yeah.
If you can fucking make that header, make it.
You know who argues that out with me all the time? And he makes the point. Ruby Walsh, right? So he always compares it to what you're exactly saying there, to a race in comparison. And he says, so if Willie Mullins tells you, look, ride the horse like this, but then if a fella falls in front of you and another fella is you change. You're not saying, oh well, Willie told me to stay here. You're moving the horse out, you're doing whatever, you're going to the front, you're dropping him off, whatever it is. And he's like, but why do football teams the manager told us to play like this, so we have to. He says, do they not change as things happen? You have to adapt as literally to every incident that happens. What you're saying is sometimes you find players are literally taking it to, oh well, he told me I have to be standing here, and there's a goal going in the other side of the goal, but you're not doing anything about it.
Well, like, yeah, exactly. And I don't know whether maybe this has caught Duffer out a bit, and look, it's something they have to get into their game. Like, it'll
be a long season for them, won't it?
It will now. I think that's a huge result for them. I think you look at the league, UCD, Finn Harps. You look at it now.
Drogheda had a beaten Dundalk,
and by the way, Drogheda were excellent.
Yeah,
they were excellent. There's a team now that looks to me like they've said, okay, we're getting ourselves out of this shit. We're getting ourselves out of here. So that's another thing.
Well, I know Kevin had a couple of players back as well that he was a bit concerned about.
But they were very good. But that could have been 2 or 3 nil.
Yeah, great result. Honest,
you know, they were very good in the night. But just going, I mean, look, and it's not Shell's thing. I do see it quite a lot, even in some of the other games as well. Even speaking about Lopez, like, there's probably one of the top defenders in the league. Like, you know, just got a little bit caught out for the second goal. But it's like you can't. You know, if you've been told to be here to do that, and you know you're training all week and you're working on your shape and all that kind of thing, it's fair enough, take it on board. But when it comes to the basic stuff, like, you know, and by the way, like, a manager's probably never going to roar on the pitch like when things are flat, right? And he goes, go and smash somebody to get just get a reaction and get going, like, you know. But players have to do that themselves as well, like, you know. So
no, I'd worry about them. I wasn't sure about the recruitment, and yeah, I wouldn't be. It's going to be a long season. I want to finish with Derry City, top of the league, Stu. And speaking of teams being competitive and aspirations to win leagues, scoring late goals. They've done it twice now. The 92nd minute, the Will Patching show the other night. We watched them, obviously.
The three goals were quality.
Great goals. Yeah. But Patching, who, if they are going to have a season where they challenge Shamrock Rovers and ultimately compete for the league, they have to keep him fit, first of all. And he's going to be the talisman. I'm not sure McElhenney is going to get back to the full fitness of what we saw with Dundalk, maybe, so he might be more impact or coming on. Patching's the star man up there now.
Yeah,
well, obviously Duffy's injured as well. He might have been, but Patching's been brilliant.
What's
the
prognosis? What's the prognosis on Duffy? I know is it a stress fracture in his leg? It's not. I don't think it'd be a season with it.
Fibula.
Hopefully he can be back maybe for later in the summer, like, you know. Excuse it could me. Be 4 or 5 months. I'm not too sure. I'm not going to really speculate, but it certainly seems to me that not only have Derry benefit from bringing in quality players because they've got the likes of a McElhenney on the pitch, but it's spurred the other players on. That's what's happened here. So Patchin's just said he's stuck the chest out and says, well, I'm going to be the main man here. And to be quite honest with you,
he has been. He's been unbelievable.
Because we were even commenting on it. Like, he looks like he's had his Weetabix, and he's taking his protein shakes, and he's doing his gym work, because he looks
in great nick,
physical condition, looks really good. You can see, okay, look at, you know, he's a 90 minute player now. Okay, you might have argued in the past, little bit light, comes in and out of games. That could be a fitness thing, it could be a psychological thing, but he's a 90-minute player now. And the game the other night just epitomised that, because he scored in the 4th minute, quality goal, meant every bit of it. And then 90th minute, he's popping up 20 yards out, 25 yards out, and he's putting one in the bottom corner. A bit like Ala Jack Bourne maybe a couple of years ago. So he's got that capability, and they probably needed it there, because he had an awful lot of opportunities in the game in the run of play, good approach play down that left hand side, crosses into the box, but finishing could have been better. But they've had to depend on Patching popping up with two worldies from outside the box. That's allowed, like, you know, he's got that in his locker, there's no doubt about it. And even the goal from Pat was a quality strike as well. So he's on fire, to be quite honest with you. And Derry just getting, you can see the confidence in them. What is it? I mean, just even look at the stats now. They've
played 6 games. They've a game less played than some of the other teams, notably Shamrock Rovers, 14 points. Yeah, it's been a brilliant start to them for the season. And that's what we wanted. Obviously, there's a break. There's no games this weekend. There is games in the First Division, but there's no games in the Premier Division. So we will speak more next week, just in terms of, I suppose, where we're at. But I think going forward, Stu, you're convinced we'll definitely have a title race this year.
There's no doubt about it. You might argue it was a similar thing last year, but when you look at the level of competition Rovers now have, and when you look at how they performed against Rovers, there's very little in it.
You know what I think
longevity is key here. Like, you know, Sligo kind of only lasted half a season last year.
No, but Pats went a little bit further. And this is the thing, what I find for this year, which I think bodes a lot better and more promising than what we had last year. If you think, and you're right in saying, we two or three teams had a great start last year, but they were surprise challengers. Pats weren't expected to be up there in Stephen O'Donnell's.
True.
Sligo
yeah,
weren't
very
expected.
True.
Whereas you look at the start of this year, we were all saying Derry, they've spent in the summer, or the off season, they're expected to put in a challenge. Pat's the same. They're just coming off the back of winning the cup. We expect them to be up there. So now Shamrock Rovers have challengers this year that are expected to be challenging them. Whereas we felt last year, the two that were supposed to challenge them never did, Dundalk and Bowes. And it was up to Sligo and Pat's being there a little bit too early in their development, let's say.
Yeah, totally agree. Absolutely, totally agree. I don't think Sligo or Pats can have any excuses this year. They had it last year. They didn't really cope with it for the whole length of the season in a different position now. But I go back to what I always said: the more teams competing at the top, the more it becomes very difficult for Shamrock Rovers. Mm. Yeah, because you know there's going to be huge competition now in the league, and they're all scrapping for that. And I think the penny's dropped a little bit here. This European money and this opportunity to get into the European Conference League we spoke about it last year. It's huge. Yeah. Irish clubs have never had a better opportunity to get some real finances into the bank balance.
Okay, Stuart, that was episode 6. We're looking forward to Ireland v Belgium, Ireland v Lithuania. We will talk about that next week because we'll have no Premier Divisions to discuss. There is First Division games. It's unfortunate that our guest couldn't be with us this week, but we understand. We'll have him on another time. I've enjoyed that. Thanks, as always, Paul Morris in the green room. And Benetti Menswear, our sponsors every week, looking after us as well. Huge thank you to them. We will speak to you next week, people. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Cawley's Call, powered by Benetti Menswear. For more interviews like this, please subscribe to my podcast or follow on all my social media channels.